Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey Road Trippin' fans, Homage t-shirts are as ferocious as the dunks or bangouts Richard and Channing throw down from time to time, and their softness can't even be matched. Homage has been turning back the clock with throwback tees for years. From the NBA to the Ultimate Warrior, you know, the tee LeBron wore on the plane after leading the Cavs, to its first title the city had seen in over 50 years. Well, Homage tells the stories of triumph, individualism, and hustle, preserving the old school and creating new legacies. Go to homage.com, that's H-O-M-A-G-E, and pay homage with your favorite tee. Be sure to check out the NBA Jam tees and one exclusively made for me and you. We're road tripping at homage.com. Welcome into another edition of Summer Road Tripping. On the mics, the Uge. You got Richard Jefferson, Chris Geeter McGee, Alex Curry. I'm your host, Allie Clifton. We've got Elwood making his way. That would be Richard's bulldog with us. But also our guest, first rounder, number 30.
Yeah.
Pick to the Utah Jazz.
The last one. Yep.
Josh Hart. You said the last one?
The last one.
Josh Hart to the Lakers.
Did you say the Utah?
Because he was traded.
Way to know your info.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Can you cheers?
Oh, yeah, I got you. Cheers. We're in the Red Cup Lounge, so you really can't hear the.
You know, when I think of Richard Jefferson, I think Utah Jazz or Milwaukee Bucks.
As you should.
Help turn around those franchises.
I was on vacation when all that was going down, so sorry. No, the Lakers, though. How's it going?
It's been good. I was just out here trying to find a spot. That's really about it. That's all I'm really doing.
You want to live where? And Richard was like, eh.
Yeah, I said the marina. Richard was like,
really?
I don't know about that.
Don't do it.
Oh, no.
I don't. This is the thing. This little area is best place in the world. Hermosa, Manhattan, Redondo. And I know it's tough to find a spot. Do you know why it's tough to find a spot? Because everyone wants to live there, right? Don't go to the marina. The practice facility is right there in El Segundo. You know, the airport. Don't go marina.
Then it's a trip. Say I want to go to like...
You don't need to go there. You don't need to go there. I'm going to tell you right now. I was born here in Los Angeles. If I want to go to Hollywood, if I want to go... You don't need to go there. The only place you need to go is... to the beach, roam around this little town. If you want to go have a bar, you want to go have a drink, you want to hang around here. What you don't need to do is be going all the way into LA for anything.
So you know what that means, Richard? You need to actually take him out and show him why this town is so amazing. Like, spend a day here, do the volleyball thing, kind of show him around and why the bubble is the best place on earth.
I'm not doing that.
Richard, you've been in the league how long?
17 years.
I find this ironic because for the first 13 years, you didn't live down here and we would beg you. So,
but I lived in San Diego, San Diego.
And Santa Monica?
No, I tried that for like 3 months. But can we stop talking about that? I want to talk about the Rook. How's your ankle feeling?
It's good. It's just about as good as new. Still a little sore a little bit, but it's good. A lot better.
Okay. I just, I don't, you know, how many games did you make it through summer league?
One and like 3/4.
One and 3/4.
Hey, by the way, he had 16 in that game, and he was cooking.
I was cooking, and I didn't get the and-one. I should have had the and-one.
Got it's absolutely butchered. Yeah, I mean, it was he got a beating. Like, first of all, James Worthy and I on the replay, we were back in studio. We thought it was the knee. We went down bad. It didn't look good. We were thinking, oh man, we're losing him for the year. So it was just it was good to hear that it was only an ankle. Could you have played in the championship game if you really?
I probably could have, but.
Are you already questioning officials?
Don't do that. Don't set them up. That's not nice. The Summer League officials are like, they are working. It's Summer League for them too.
Yeah.
Just
it
like it's Summer
joke.
League for players. I know.
I mean, it's hard to judge somebody when you give a guy 10 fouls. It's like, all right, go out there and just hack somebody 9 times before you foul out. So, I mean.
Yeah, it's 10 fouls in Summer League. That is insane. Yeah.
That's not.
I think when you get to like the actual playoffs, it's like 6. But like the first like 3 games, it's 10 fouls.
Obviously, it was a quick Summer League then for you. But what'd you pick up right away?
The pace for us, how we wanted to go, it was just get stops and get out and go. You know, if they get it out the net, get it and go. So that was probably like the biggest thing for me. But just that pace, I wasn't too used to it at Nova. You know, we would, come down
kind of.
We ran
9
a little
sets.
Bit. Yeah. But, I mean, it was all really a lot of half-court kind of grinded out kind of game. So, it messed me up the first time. The first practice, I was like.
Oh, you know what it is? Let me rephrase that. So, there's really 2 Wildcats, right? There's, Villanova, kind of. And then there's Kentucky, but then the real Wildcats are Arizona.
When's your last national championship?
97, but it doesn't matter.
I think
matter.
Ours is like 2 years ago.
It's like 2 years ago.
I like the young bucks.
But we all have scrapbooks. But part of the reason why you couldn't breathe is because who was coaching you guys? Judd Bushler, Wildcat. Fine. Jesse Mermis. Who's your head coach? Luke Walton. Yeah. So if you want to start talking trash about the Arizona Wildcats, feel free. You're like, yeah, you might be able to throw one at me.
Oh,
but, I'm just saying that you have a really good coaching staff, and these guys are going to do a really good job of preparing you and your team for the pace that you're going to need to play in kind of like this day and age in basketball, because slow down basketball, there's only probably about 1 or 2 teams that can really pull that off. So yeah, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, definitely.
Josh, the greatest celebration maybe in the history of the Summer League, Judd Bushler doing the self water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that a great moment for you guys?
It was. We doused him with water after his first win.
Because you guys were 0-2. Yeah. He was thinking he was never going to get a win.
It was looking like it was going to be a short Vegas trip for us, but we were able to turn it around. I know he was happy he got some wins. I think he was kind of under the hot seat a little bit. So,
yeah.
What kind of potential do you see from this Lakers team? I mean, they are way overdue to be back to being this powerhouse that they used to be.
Did we just ask a rookie about potential that he sees?
Yeah, he's just playing it.
I was about to say, it's tough for me. It's tough for me because, obviously I haven't been in this league, so I don't really know what it necessarily takes in this league to be successful and that kind of thing. But, I like the energy around it. I like the young guys, the core that we have. We're all willing to be a part of something. And I think that's the biggest thing. And we all have that mindset that we want to win. And, when you have that mindset, and you do the little things, that's where, winning comes, reality. So, very, very excited about, this young team and the potential that we have. We just got KCP, who's a great player. I think he's like 25. He'll be one of the veterans on the team, so that's kind of weird. But
how old are you, Richard?
37. Yeah. He was born 3 years, but 3 years before I graduated high school.
Yeah. So that's my point exactly. So we're very young. But I mean the potential, it's high.
Are you one of those guys when you're watching SportsCenter and you see RJ dunk? Are you one of those guys like, damn, Richard Jefferson can still dunk? Do you expect
a little bit? I mean,
a little bit.
I saw a meme on Instagram while I was going through my timeline before, and it was like him in his rookie year, and him in his it was like this 17th year, and it looked like he didn't age at all. So I'm like, I mean, you can't really like you're kind of surprised, but like, I mean, he looks the same.
Yeah.
So
we have a very famous fantasy football league, in the memes that go around that chain when Richard dunks, because it's like Twitter seeing it for the first time every time he throws. I mean, he throws down a lot of dunks, right?
So
he,
but people react like it's a... Okay, yeah. Yeah, for instance, I was, what was I, third or fourth on our team in dunks?
I know.
With LeBron, Kyrie, who else is there?
Tristan.
And Tristan.
Yeah.
No. Who was it?
No, it was Tristan.
It was, no, so I was
certainly
third.
Wasn't Channing.
I was third.
You were third, though.
I was third.
Yeah. It was Channing. It was Channing.
Yeah, it was Channing. It was behind Bron and Tristan.
Bang out.
I was third. It's like, come on now. I dunk more.
But RJ, there's a few times a year where you have highlight dunks.
Richard still That's has true. The whole, like, and this drives me nuts as a floor player myself, and we've talked about this, because he was such a dunker, instead of just staying wide on the break, when like Bron or Kai are coming down with the ball, instead of staying wide and shooting the three, which a 37-year-old should do and what he always does every single day at practice, he will always creep in and he'll bring his defender with him. Because
it's not about bringing the defender. There was a time and place in the world of basketball when you ran for layups.
Big game, James!
You ran for layups. You didn't run. Like, I went to the finals with two teams in New Jersey that ran for layup, Jason Kidd. So you don't, you like this whole, it's like if it's a 3-on-1 break, you can get a layup. Take the easiest shot. Why am I going to fan
out?
Why am I
going to fan out? It's not always a 3-on-1. Well, sometimes.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. My only argument is this. When I see a transition, I want a layup. I want a dunk. You can't only get dunks when there's no one in front of you. You can still get dunks and layups. And even then, if you throw it ahead, you have a layup. If you don't get it, then you can kick it out to the guys. I don't understand the guys that just stand out all the way wide and go for and just shoot threes. That's not my strong point. I can do it. Not my strong point. Not my strong point. So what's been? There's so many adjustments people don't understand as a rookie, and so I would say, you know, finding a place to live, getting acclimated to the city, all the summer league, all the stuff. It's going to be nonstop for you. But what's been kind of the thing that was like, oh, okay, this is what has to go on, or I didn't know that I was going to have this much downtime or this much work. What's kind of surprised you since the day you got drafted, not pre-draft, but since that day?
How much taxes I got to pay? That's probably the biggest thing.
It's a whole
California.
I sat down with a payroll lady. I was like, oh, let's go. Let's see.
Let's do
how much I make. Yeah. She said, yeah, you get this. I said, I get what? I was like, nah, you got, this is the wrong person. You got to flip
couple more zeros.
Yeah, my pages, you know. But I mean, that, and the downtime is a little, I mean, I can just tell now, obviously, I'm still trying to, you know, go out. I'm looking at different kind of spots and kind of that sort of thing. But, I mean, the downtime scene is kind of weird because college, it was so structured. It was like you woke up in the morning, had a lift, went to class, grabbed a bite to eat, had practice. Then by the time you're done practice, it's like 7 o'clock. And it's like, all right, you know, I got like a finish a paper, then that's about it, you know. Because at Nova, you know, we had to do all our school. Our
at Villanova, you guys were an academic institution.
Yeah, so
we got no breaks on that one.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you were a 4-year guy too.
Hey man, that was a lot of long nights. I just procrastinated, but hey, it is what it is.
Did you graduate?
Yeah, I graduated.
Congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Luke told me a great story. Your coach, Luke Walton. We went back to Arizona in April to MC an event together, and we had the cameras and we were rolling and we were in a golf cart going to the gym, and he said that when he and RJ were at Arizona, there was a student center. It was a big outside area. I don't know what it is. It has a certain name, RJ. And Luke's like, yeah, we were always there. But then I would have to go to class, and RJ be like, all right, I'll be here when you get back.
So we were roommates, and we had every single class together. So it was like we were roommates, had every class together, then we would go to practice. And it was so funny because we both played the same position, and there'd be one day he would kill me. Coach would be like, Richard, blah, 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 Lute Olson, Hall of Fame. He just murdered me. And so we would not talk to each other like the whole day, be pissed off, not talk to each other in class, whatever. And then next day, I'm focused. I'm ready to go. So then I'd go at him. Coach would be murdering him. And then it was just like a never ending cycle with me and Luke. So like sometimes I had to not go to class just to get a break. You know, that was the only break I got.
I wish Coach Wright would go for that.
Good luck, man.
Yeah. But that's why you guys won the national championship and I lost in the national championship. So
can we talk about that? What was that game like? I actually got
annoyed. He still doesn't believe it.
I got a noise violation. We were talking about this. The Cavs were playing the Bucks the next night, and so we were in Milwaukee the night before.
At that restaurant?
No, I was in my room, and the walls are a little thin at the Pfister, and I screamed Oh, I jumped, and then I got a knock on my door.
It's one of the best.
I'm like, do you know what's going on? Like, yeah.
That's one of the best games, college national championship games.
Oh, for sure.
In a long time.
I don't, like, when they talk about the best games, one, the tip dunk, that was the semis. That wasn't the finals. The NC State. Mm-hmm. So I think that might have been I think it is the best national championship game of all time.
I mean, there's great ones, but for sure, two heavyweights too, with phenomenal players on both sides. And for North Carolina, I mean, what's his name? Hits the three, and it's
Chris. Oh no, Marcus Page.
Marcus Page.
Yeah.
And it's an insane three,
double
like
pump.
The double pump.
Double pump.
Oh. And you're thinking, and then Nova comes down and executes just perfect. I mean, it's a pretty amazing moment, man. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. What was that like for you?
It was crazy. I mean, I think we gave up a 10-point lead with like 3 minutes left. So.
Yeah, y'all were choking.
Yeah, it was it was a struggle, but. I mean, I was at the when Marcus shot that, I'm at the bottom of the paint. You see me, I'm over there battling with Isaiah Hicks, and then I just look up, and somehow he buried me under the rim. So I'm like looking right like through the rim. I see the ball. I'm like, yo, there ain't no way this goes in, and it just goes. It's just cash. I'm like, oh man. So we all just go back up. I mean,
let's just stop. It's been talked about. It's been talked about, and I know this. The game has been talked about. The shot has been dissected. Where you were, that's not what I want to know. That's not what people want to know. What I want to know is what was the next week at school like after y'all got back?
Oh man, it was absurd.
Was it like absurd. The summer?
Yeah, no, what was that week like? Nobody was going to class.
Nobody was going to class.
There we go. Tell the truth.
What was it? It was a Monday night, so class got canceled Tuesday.
Oh, class so got cool.
canceled. It was basically class was really canceled like the whole week.
The parade, all that stuff.
The parade was on Friday.
Wait, they have a parade for
yes.
college?
Yeah, we had a parade when we got back. Like, yeah. I'm talking about when you get back, there's people at the airport every time.
What?
Yes, and this was 20 years ago.
We had police escort and everything. Everything.
We had a send-off to go to the Final Four. They put people in the baseball stadium, and we went out, and they were all cheering, going nuts on our send-off to go there. When they won the national championship of Arizona, they had a parade through the whole town, and then they met in the football stadium that was packed. Like, that's what it was. So, again, your school is, you guys have a rich tradition. It's a little bit of a smaller school than mm-hmm. Arizona, but I could imagine what that was for the next week.
I wish I was like there the night of. That would have been absurd. I just saw videos of it, people burning things, people climbing up on street lights. They shut down all, like, the big street in Philly and in Nova, like Lancaster Avenue. Yeah. They shut that down. And I'm like, dang, I wish I went out there and hung out with them for a couple hours.
And the disappointment from the year before, right? Mm-hmm. We all remember the flute player.
Yeah.
The all gal crying. Was just balling. Aww. But you guys had a shot to win it that year. And was that second round or was that Sweet 16?
The second round.
Second round. So the disappointment of having probably the best team in the country, then to come back and do it was probably pretty sweet.
You stayed there 4 years. How many chances do you want to give that guy, man?
You know, that's a good point, RJ.
That's what I'm saying. I had three shots at it.
I stayed 5 years.
Yeah, we were number one seed twice, number two seed once.
Richard, will you ever get over that?
No, I will never, ever, ever.
Even though you won an NBA title?
What? No, I have like a real ring here if you want to see it too.
You don't forget though, like my national championship game was May 8th, 1993. I remember it, and every time May 8th comes, I text my boys. I mean, it's devastating.
No,
you'll
never forget that. Just like you'll never forget that.
No one cares about men's volleyball. Yeah, we were in the championship game.
But
I remember mine.
Lost to UCLA.
That was one of the most exciting games I think I ever watched. And it's cool because the whole world was watching. Mm-hmm. All basketball. I'm sitting there next to Bron. We're all screaming, watching the game. We couldn't believe the shot from Carolina. The next thing you know, they come down and they just, when it's in the air, it looks good. It was a beautiful shot. Mm-hmm. And no, you guys really were the first ones that kind of started that year because it was
it was the epic sports year.
Then it was
it was crazy.
Then it was Chicago.
And then you had the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So it was like you guys really started that. To me, and if you go, there wasn't a better sports year. Mm-mm. Or you have to find me one in the last. Mm-mm. And I'm not talking about individual performance. When you're talking about championship performances, you guys hit a game-winning shot. We come back down 3-1.
Baseball comes back down 3-1.
And then 28-3, Atlanta, New England.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I love that the NBA is off that night. of the national championship.
Oh, we know better. We don't want to
single person.
We don't
want to
compete.
That's what I mean. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to know though, because when you win a championship of some sort, that initial moment, like right when the whistle blows or right when the bell rings, I know Richard cried.
Yes.
When I won my national championship, I peed my pants. Like I just
did. You really pee your pants?
I peed my pants. Mm-hmm. I just like wow. There
I
was so
really
much.
You say that out loud.
Oh, it was hilarious.
She's told people
it's
before.
Fine. It's no big deal. What was your like initial like that moment like it ends and like all that just emotion and energy just comes to a peak?
I honestly don't even really remember. I mean, all I remember was tackling Chris, and then after that, it was just like you're basically like on cloud nine for like the next, the rest of that year, really. But I mean, I hugged the lady in our basketball office, Alicia, who Davidson, who just runs everything for us. And I think before that, our freshman year, me, Chris Jenkins, and Daryl Reynolds, all was like, yeah, we're gonna take you to a Final Four. So then we did that, and I was like, all right, we did that. And then we won the national championship. So I was just, and me and her just had a good moment there. I think that was really about it. I don't really remember too much. It was a blur. It was so much going on.
Man, I would have never left Villanova. You ain't paying for a drink the rest
They're
of your life.
They're kicking me out. I don't got a choice.
Man, just got some kind of master's
how
program.
How many years do you want? First of all, the new league that he is in is pretty good.
Yeah.
He goes from Nova. He goes from Nova to the Los Angeles Lakers. I think he's doing all right for himself. As long as he doesn't live in the marina, he's going to be doing all right for himself.
I guess I'm not in the marina.
Your head coach did great
for
himself.
Yeah.
He did.
So what are you thinking? What? This is rare. It's very rare to have a rookie. And for us, we started this podcast during the season just because we wanted to talk to players. We wanted to kind of hear stories and crack jokes and just in a real, real casual form. And all of us are fans. Not only basketball, but just every sport. But this is an opportunity that's in front of you. It's an opportunity that's been presented to you after 4 years. And very rarely do guys go 4 years, get drafted, especially to a great franchise. Like what are your goals for this year?
Obviously I want to get on the court.
That's a great start.
You know, obviously I can be like, yeah, I want to be rookie of the year, you know, all rookie team, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, I got to, you know, make it so I'm on the court. So yeah. I'm making playing time so those goals can, you know, become a reality. So my biggest thing right now is just getting better and being on the court. You know, that's the biggest thing for me right now.
All right.
Was there a team as a young kid growing up that you watched that you loved in the NBA?
It was actually the Lakers. I loved the Heat when D-Wade was there. D-Wade was my favorite player. So this down and then.
You know, he just left last year. You said, like, when he was there. Like,
I mean, we're like young.
Young D-Wade.
Like, oh, yeah, D-Wade was there. It was he's only been gone 6 months.
No, no, no. I like
Heat versus
D-Wade.
Mavericks.
Now he's Dwayne Wade. Oh, you know, I like D-Wade.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he's a little past that now.
Is that who you feel like you model your game after?
A little bit. He was definitely a little more athletic than I am now, unfortunately. But, you know, it was just those kind of teams. I started liking when I got to Villanova and we started, you know, how we played and everything like that. I really started looking at San Antonio and started to really like what they were doing. So I guess it was really like those three teams that really kind of, you know, grew up cheering for Wizards a little bit because I was in D.C., but those are like the main three.
I would love for Rich to answer this too, but I'll start with you. Who will be that guy? Will it be D-Wade that when you're maybe matched up with him, you're like, shit, it's D-Wade. Like, who was it for you, Rich? Maybe you give your answer first.
I'll tell you this. So it was Nets and Knicks. And obviously I was a basketball fan, but I was a West Coast guy. Loved the West Coast. So I get drafted by Jersey, whatever. First summer league game, we're playing against the Knicks. So I'm sitting there nervous, right? Nervous. First time because you go summer league and you have like the summer league jerseys. So the first, and then you have your practice jersey for all training camp. So the first time you actually put on a real NBA jersey in a game situation is your first preseason game. I'm not talking about pictures and stuff, but like when you're really going. So it's the first time you go in there, you put in a jersey and, you know, coach looks down the bench and goes, Richard, you got Kerry. So I go, it was Kerry Kittles, and I look at him like
Villanova guy.
Yeah, saying, yeah, whatever. Who cares? And I was like, he's like, who am I guarding? He was like, you got Sprewell, and I was like,
I was like, did he just get out of jail or something? Like, what's going on?
Joseph's coming.
Like, the guy's on a work release program. That's the first guy you want me to guard? Holy shit. So, yeah, so that was my first. So I was like, that's the guy you want to put on the 21-year-old rookie you want him to go guard? Okay, I got him. And then I realized he can't go left. He could, like, you might as well cut off his left hand and arm because he can't go left. And that's one of those ones where you start to kind of, that was my first kind of jump in of like a moment where I respect him. He's an idol. He was a wing. And that was back in the day where there was kind of still kind of a legal defense where they would just put you on an ISO and a wing and just tell you to try and stop a guy. Mm-hmm. And he was impressive. So who would be that guy for you?
I guess probably would be D Wade. But I think that would all be before the tip. You know, once I get in the game, you know, all that, oh, this was who I panned my game after. This was my idol. All that go out the window.
You'll still have a moment. I promise you.
Yeah, I probably will.
You still have a moment.
A very humbling moment.
It'll be a moment like to yourself. Moment. To yourself, yeah. Like you'll look at it and you're like, I'm really in this moment.
Yeah, I'll probably run back like, damn, this D Wade.
And people don't. It's not fear. It's not a fear factor. It's not a like you're scared. It's just more of like you're in the moment. Like, yeah. Oh my god,
this is like it's like you watch like you watching him from like for like.
Your
eight,
whole,
nine,
yeah.
10 years, yeah. And then you like you're on the same court with him, you know, competing against him. You're like, oh, dang, like this.
I'm here.
Crazy.
It's got a feeling of like accomplishment. I mean, you have obviously a lot you still want to accomplish, but like kind of Richard said, like even to get to the NBA, it's rare. You have something that a lot of people wish they could, you know, have.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, especially with my path to how I do it. You know, now it's like the era of one and done. So you know, us four year guys are a little. Rare, but you know, once you have that moment, you know, once you're on the court, like you said, once you put that jersey on, and it's actually go time, and it's not just let me take a picture here and there, and when you're actually playing, you know, I'm gonna have that moment. I'm just look up like, dang, like this is, you know, this is what you dream about all the time. Now it's become reality.
You'll always have that moment, and it comes and goes, and it's here and there. But again, I'm 17 in. And I'm sitting here in the NBA Finals again last year. And it's like you're closing your eyes. I'm saying my prayer during the national anthem. And then it's just like you open your eyes and you're like, holy shit, I'm in the NBA Finals. And here I'm like, I'm on my way out. But it's just so surreal. And never lose that. Never lose that joy, that respect, that love for the game where it's expected. Like, oh, it's cool. It's whatever. It's like, no, man, I love my job. Like, this is amazing. Like, this is what I dreamed about. And the fact that, you know, I get an opportunity to do it. Don't ever lose that because it will go away and it will very quickly. You're going to be laughing at some young guy and you're going to be 10 years in and 12 years in. And it's a different vibe once you get a little bit older.
And because of the run you had with the national championship, you'll probably be surprised to see how many guys respect and know your game. It was really cool. We had Big Shot Rob Ori in here, and Big Shot Bob was sitting where you were, RJ's where I was, and Rob started telling a story about Rich's rookie year. And he's like, oh, I've been a fan of yours. He's like, I've been a fan of yours for a long time. That's what Rob tells Rich. He's like, you probably don't remember, but you were shooting free throw when you were a rookie. And I walked up to you and was like, you got robbed for rookie of the year. And it was interesting because like Rob, that's a long time ago. And he was telling Rich that. So what a cool moment that probably was for you, RJ. But how many guys watched you guys win that game? Like Rich said, LeBron, everyone's watching that game. Allie's getting noise complaints. You know what I mean? So everyone knows who you are coming in. It's kind of cool.
I wasn't even a Nova fan. I was in that moment.
No one's
wrapped up in that moment. Because I'm from Ohio, so I'm a Buckeye. I'm sorry. But I was like, holy, and I let it out a little bit.
Rough time over there too.
What?
Io.
Here we go with this yet.
Okay, so to win the national title, that's what, 40 games?
Yeah, that was my 40th game.
Are you ready for an NBA season?
that was my longest season.
It'll be a fun 82.
That was my longest season, and it's not even half an NBA season. So it's going
to
be.
And then you add the playoffs to it. Yeah, and
let's not get carried away now.
What? LeVar said the Lakers are going to make. LeVar.
Who said that? I don't
LeVar.
Know. Fuck that.
Fine.
We'll see if you get fined.
I didn't say fuck him if you want, because I said fuck a lot of people before.
And nothing happened.
I'm
so
surprised.
I'm not saying fuck him, but it's like he's basing this off of what experience? His wealth of college basketball knowledge?
I was using it as
knowledge?
A segue to see what it's like to play alongside his son.
Well, that's a good segue.
Because it was Lonzo Mania out in Vegas, right?
It was
the vibe.
It's only Lonzo Mania. mania because of the hysteria that his father has created. And it's a great business
smart. And they're Laker fans.
And I respect
the thought process is amazing. The way he executes.
Yo, he's like a basketball Kardashian. Like he is drawing so much attention to his family and his team that it's just there. It's amazing. They got a reality show coming. Mm-hmm.
And he's been around here. He's been on the Hermosa Pier. He's been in Tower 12.
People keep talking about Tower 12.
It's like bungalow.
I haven't been there yet.
It's fun.
Wait a second. I used to go
the other night.
They have a reality show coming?
Well, they were talking about
it. Really?
On Facebook. The family
Facebook
does.
Is starting to do original programming.
What?
And they were talking about, they were talking about him and his whole family doing a reality show.
Of what?
Of basketball. I don't know. What were the first episodes of the Kardashians
hanging
about?
Hanging
out? Nothing.
See how crazy. It's going to be like,
did you have fun playing with
dad?
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. Yeah. You know, he passed for his point guard. His passing ability, well, I didn't get to play that long with him. But, you know. I got to play a game in 3/4 with him. Yeah. But,
hey, Robert Horry said he played 2 games with Jason Kidd and it was the best 2 games. Yeah. Ever.
See, the way, you know, he passes the hell out of the ball, you know, and he makes some passes. You just look at, you know, you look at your teammate like, yo, how the heck did he do that? I mean, so it was good. And, like, him as a kid, I feel bad for him sometimes because, like, he gets so much criticism and that kind of thing, obviously, you know, with his dad. But just him as a person, he's a great kid. You know, me and him, cool, we kick it. And it's like, you know, he's a regular 19-year-old kid, you know, the same that I was. But he's just under such a microscope. You know, everything he does is viral. Like, we were on the bus one day. You know, obviously, I'm with Roc Nation. So, it was right after, it was when Hov dropped, you know, 444. So, I'm like, yeah, this Hov joint is, you know, bumping, blah, 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 blah. And then we all got in the argument about, you know, who's a better rapper. And I was saying, like, Hov and J. Cole. Got, like, more, you know. That has content. I don't just, like, all the random stuff. So, then they were talking about, like, 21 Savage and all them. So, he was like, you're talking about the album Issa. I think, is that what it's called, Issa? Do y'all know what it is?
By who?
My point exactly. Anyways.
Yeah. So, I was like, the fact that someone said 21 Savage.
Apparently, he writes and does his own hip hop. Did he tell you that?
Off that conversation.
I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I was messing with him. I was like, you ain't going to tweet that it's better. He was like, yeah, well, I was like, do it. He did it and it went viral. Everyone was people were tweeting about it, people were Instagramming about it. And I'm just like, you know, this is just some like just messing around on a bus.
Yeah.
And it goes viral. I'm just like, man, this kid has a microscope.
But there's a good lesson there. The lesson there is you're all under a microscope.
Yeah.
And anything that you do will stick with you. And you have to be careful who you hang out with, who you associate with. You know, people, don't ever forget where you come from. And people, don't always keep real. Don't believe any of that shit. Don't believe any of that. What you need to do is you need to put yourself in a position to better your life, your family's life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I say that from the perspective of, like, understand that you're under a microscope. Mm-hmm. So it's like you get guys that are always trying to keep it real. That's why one of my favorite segments is the old Dave Chappelle is like when keeping it real goes wrong, because it's so fucking true. My son today, he spends all day on the beach. On the way back, he's crying because he wants a coconut water. Now, those are the type of kids I used to want to beat up when I was growing up. But now that I'm in a position that I can put my kids, my son, that's what he wants. He wants a coconut water. And you're just sitting here like, dude, if you say kombucha one more time, I'm going to slap you, right? But it's true. So I say that from this perspective. Like, you're under a microscope. Understand that. I don't know too much of your background, so I won't pretend to. But if you got boys that are trying to be knuckleheads, if you got friends, if you got family members that got crazy ideas, avoid that. Because when you hang out with people that have nothing to lose, they will help you lose what you have, right? So, you know, it's a valuable lesson because you guys are under an extreme microscope, and not just him. The minute you become a Laker, the minute you get that Jerry West on your chest, everything changes. Mm-hmm. It's all about you. It's not about representing your school anymore, because you can't just bounce around the schools. When you get to a team, you can be traded from team to team to team. But once you are in the NBA, it's about you and your, they say brand, but it's about you and representing yourself and putting yourself in the best position you can to be successful.
That's a great point, Richard. I actually just heard an analyst like 2 days ago say that it takes seconds to mess it up and a lifetime to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
low
risk.
What's going on, man? Yeah, Lil Rich is in the building. Speaking of one mistake. Hey, Lil Rich, come here. Come here. Hey. Good. Okay. See, Lil Rich.
The whole fam.
Come here, Lil Rich. Yes, we are recording. We've been recording.
Effie, we hear you.
Come here.
Effie, how much does Rich talk about the podcast?
So this way, when you're in the Red Cup Lounge and all of a sudden the kids wake up, come here, Lil Rich. Oh, you got a yogurt mustache. Come here. You want to say, what did we talk about? What did we say? Come here. Stand up here. Nice hair. You guys, you kind of look like that guy over there. Hey, what did we say? Let's go what?
Let's go Cavs.
Let's go Cavs. The Cavaliers, right?
Let's go Lakers.
Let me hear you say it.
Let's go Cavs.
Let's go Cavs. Let's go Cavs.
Lil Rich.
One more time.
He plays for the greatest franchise in the history of basketball, the Lakers.
He's wearing a yellow shirt, so that's...
Yeah, he knows. He's a Laker fan.
Okay. Nah, it's kind of... Let's
will
go
be.
Cavs.
I mean, it's not really yellow, but... Let's
go Cavs. You gotta yell it.
Let's go Cavs.
Are they the Cavaliers?
Yeah.
Say the Cavaliers.
Let's go Cavs.
That's weak.
We got to start a kitty podcast.
You
had
Lurie.
She
said
this, and now we've got Lil Rich.
He believes it. Oh, I've seen video of him down on the floor. Rich will send it to me and be like,
"Hey, don't worry. He's been on the stage when we won a championship.
Yeah, he was
cool. Let's go, Cavs. Now get out of here."
All he knows is rings.
What are you doing?
He's like his dad.
You need more.
He likes the mic.
You need more. Yeah. Okay.
Let's go, Cavs.
Let's go, Cavs.
Let's go Cubs.
You gotta yell it though. You can't whisper it.
Let's go Cubs.
Yeah.
Good job, Lil Rich.
All right, buddy. You gotta go.
Look at Archie. He's like, all right, man. You're taking too much of my mic time.
Hey, man. We gotta keep. Hey, I was talking about how much you love coconut water as you're drinking like antibiotic free Sieg's yogurt drink.
Organic. Yeah.
God, you're softer than baby poo. God.
I know.
Yeah, he's got his iPad. We'll talk later.
Josh, we talked before this because you're so familiar with Road Trippin' and our 20 listeners from all across the world. I'm sure they're interested, though, to hear a little bit more about you and your upbringing.
Wait.
Bye, guys.
Your upbringing, what it was like. Do you got sisters? You got brothers?
Yeah, I mean, I have a sister and a brother, both older. My mom and my dad are just two kind of hardworking people. They grew up in St. Louis, moved to Maryland in like '87, I think it was. They were kind of like, all right, we're moving here for like 6 months so my dad could do culinary school because he's a chef. Mm. And like 20 years later, they were still there. So they're just two kind of hardworking people. You know, my dad is someone of high character. Mm-hmm. You know, we never really had much, but he you know, they always made the best of the situation. Always taught me like not to quit, you know, be a man of faith, be a man of character.
Do they have names?
Yeah, but I can't say names.
You give us names.
My dad's name is Moses. My mom's name is Pat. My brother's, you know, Moses, and my sister's Amy. So, that's kind of what I grew up in.
You have a connection to the baseball world too, correct?
Yeah. So my dad's uncle is Elston Howard. So. Dog seems a little tired. You good, bro?
Oh yeah, Elwood can't do much. So, yeah,
but
he's got a torn ACL. He's all messed up.
Oh my guy's been through so much. He had an inner ear infection. He's all banged up. Poor guy.
So
man, you meet a Moses, you know it's a G. I mean, it's
Moses, come on now, man. That's a hell
did Moses cook for you guys too?
Off and on, because he cooked all day. So
that's why
I'm coming back. And just throw something on the grill or something like that. So, I mean, there'll be days where he'll, you know, really throw down and be like, dang, this is good. Mm-hmm. The other days it's like, so you're not going to cook, huh?
Right.
I mean, so that's kind of how that was.
The real question, can you cook?
I can cook a little bit. I'm not going to be like, yeah, I can make five-star meals, but, you know, I can live on my own and...
It's called Chipotle. You're fine, man. Chipotle. I'll tell you the spot. So there's Whole Foods ready-made section.
Yeah, that's popular.
Then you go Chipotle.
Chipotle is a go-to.
Then right down the street, there's a spot called Lemonade. It's amazing. You're going to want to go there because you're not going to want to live in the marina. Trust me, you're not going to want to live in the marina because this is the thing about the marina and what we were talking about. Well, what if I want to go here? Here, if you live somewhere kind of in this area, you can walk to everything. If you're in the marina.
That's the only down part of the one building I was thinking about. I'm just
I
like,
could,
dang, I
know,
can't.
Man. man.
That's what teams used to say, right?
Marina Del Rey. Yeah, we said Marina. There was like the cheap, because there was the Ritz-Carlton and then there's a Marriott. When I was in college at Arizona, we stayed at the Marriott. Then we stayed at the Ritz. But there's not a lot of spots. But here, there's just so many local spots. Mm-hmm. Gumtree, great spot. There's another spot that you're going to have to go to. It's called Soho Yoga. It's right down the street. It's my yoga
you're
spot.
You're looking at the owner.
So yeah. He owns it.
That's how.
By the way, I was there at 6:30 this morning doing sculpt with Christine.
Who did Christine? Justin,
yeah, it's great class.
Comerford, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's amazing. Amazing yoga teacher. But yeah, no, don't do Marina, man.
Richard, Josh, yesterday we podcasted with Lindsey Vonn, and she's like in the midst of her like tough regimen preparing for the Olympics in February. And she's talking about how 2-a-days, 5 days a week, no drinking, nothing like real strict. And Richard, what was your advice? Whiskey?
I said whiskey helps embalm my body. That's how I'm able to do what I'm able to do for so long. But let me give you some.
His manager sitting behind him, like,
let me give you some unsolicited advice. One, you can never work too hard, right? As a rookie, you can never work too hard. There's going to be multiple moments where you're just like, what the fuck? I'm so tired. We still have basketball. We still have practice. You can never work too hard. Two, always listen. Always listen to everybody. You weed out the bullshit, but always listen to everybody. Three, if you want to get on the court, the number one thing that you need to focus on is defense. Mm-hmm. And I don't know too much of your game, but if you can play defense.
All Big East defense.
It'll go there. 3 minutes will turn into 5 minutes. 5 minutes will turn into 10. 10 will turn into 20. 20 will turn into 30. If you play defense. Mm-hmm. After that, the rest is just kind of bullshit. I'm just saying, as a rookie, because they want to be able to trust you. You're a 4-year guy, so you're more seasoned than most, and that's going to be a great advantage for you. But if you play defense and you know everybody's position, you know what everybody's supposed to do, you know everybody else's job. These are the things, and there's always guys that will complain about, oh, I'm only playing 10 minutes a game. Well, 10 minutes can turn into 5, right? But if you take that 10 minutes and be like, how can I maximize this 10 minutes? 10 minutes can turn into 15. 15 can turn into 20. So that's just some kind of, you know, unsolicited advice that I would give any rookie in any situation. And it's stuff that was told to me because I was very, very fortunate to be a rookie and be like the 6th, 7th man on a team that went to the finals. And it was only because I had guys like Lucius Harris, Aaron Williams talking to me. Jason Kidd hitting me in the back of my head when I used to argue in film session and stuff like that.
You still do that today.
What?
You still do that today.
I still do it. And it's a part. It's good to know when I think about it that that's what I used to do just in general, just argue with people. But no. If you do those things, man, it will help you and it will help you a long way. But I think you have some fair coaches that will give you an opportunity. So that's just the bullshit unsolicited advice that I have for you.
Any questions you have for Richard?
So we asked about my week at school. What was your time like? Because obviously when y'all won it. Because like obviously, it was the NCAA. It was like, all right, yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah. You know, but it's not the biggest stage. Y'all won on the biggest stage. So I know it was crazy.
What? You know what it was?
So cool. I gotta know this.
I love it.
I'm gonna be honest, man.
It
really
lasted
honest.
4 months.
Do you remember?
I remember. Because I soaked it all in. And let me tell you, I tried to retire. Let me tell you this, man. There's no greater joy. And I'm mad because I won a state championship. I went to Arizona. They won the national championship in the 97. And I was one of the first recruiting classes after. So my goal, I wanted to win a national championship. We got to the Final Four. We lost in the national championship. But that was my goal. And then as soon as I got to the NBA, my goal was to win an NBA championship. I wanted to win on every single level so I could have that experience. So to get to finally, after going my first 2 years, then going again, that was my third chance, and we were down. So the whole experience was not enjoyable. Mm-hmm. We're down 0-2, and it's not looking pretty. Then we win one, we're doing all right. Then we go down 3-1, not looking pretty. We win one game, it's 3-2. They're like, whatever. Still not looking pretty.
Can I tell you, stop you really quick?
Go ahead.
Though, when you guys were down 3-1, I know as players, you felt this way too. The vibe on the flight with a team who's down 3-1, having to go back and win in one of the toughest places to win at Oracle, the vibe on the flight there was the most calming situation in place for a team like that.
Well, we believe this is what we believed. We knew we were going to have to win one game in Golden State. And it was, I think I was the first one to say it. I was like, look, if we win game 5, it will go to 7.
Yeah.
because our fans were amazing. We'd only lost one game at home, and that we kind of bullshitted a little bit. But fast forward, whatever. So we get to game seven, Little Rich, everyone just heard him on the mic. He was in the building. Everybody was in the building, and it's back and forth. It's up and down. We get it done, and it's just afterwards, I'm in tears because it's been my life's work, and then the party starts. Mm-hmm. We go to Vegas afterwards, and when I tell you...
One of the NBA guys, like the head guys of the NBA, saw me in the hallway as the team is getting on the bus to go to Vegas, and he looks at me and he goes, never has a team planned a party in Vegas after winning a championship.
It was the most genius celebration I've ever seen.
There was a crowd waiting in Cleveland at the airport for you guys to land at like 9 a.m. And then they get word that they have to wait until noon because the team is going to Vegas.
Hey, they waited all those years. They were going to stick around, right?
And they did.
And this is why we went to Vegas, and in our defense. So if we go, and as soon as, because it's like, you don't want San Francisco is shit. You don't want to stay in party.
You
don't want to stay in party in San Francisco. It's all Warriors fans. There's no plays. What are you going to do?
Yeah,
whatever.
We're going to get no love.
There's no love. It's bullshit. I hate the town anyway. So one of the things that people don't realize is that, so if we would have left right away, I don't care where she's from. Where are you from?
She's from that place.
I said San Francisco. That ain't Oakland. So what are you? But still, what? Oakland people do not associate with San Francisco, and that's the truth. Thank you. That's why you guys are pissed off, and they didn't want the Golden State Warriors to leave and go to San Francisco, and they didn't want them to be called the San Francisco Warriors. Keep the name. So no, don't question me on this.
Running joke with Richard is put a quarter in him and he'll.
I'll keep talking forever. So if we would have just gone right after the game, after an hour or two of taking pictures with the trophy, it's cool. It's awesome. If we would have gone straight to Ohio, we would have gotten there at like 5 a.m. So we needed to go do something and kill 5 hours so you can have that moment.
No better place to kill 5 hours.
Yeah, it's 45 on the way. It's on the way. You kill 5 hours, and this is what they said to everybody. And one day we'll have to get a couple of guys on here and talk about that trip. So we get off, and our trainer comes, Steve Spiro, Boston guy, Trump supporter, no one likes him, comes back to the back of the bus. He's like, guys, okay, it's 1:15. You have to be back
in the morning.
It's 1:15 in the morning. You have to be back on the bus at 5 a.m. Be professionals. We need to get back at 5. And everyone's like, get the hell out of here.
We know
because at this point in time, like especially for all the guys in our situation, we all want to soak this in from top to bottom. I would consider myself a bottom guy because I wasn't one of the stars or studs, but I am also a 15-year guy. So if we need to be back here at 5 so we can get back there for whatever celebration, I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mayhem, but it's like, you know, this is when you see JR pouring champagne on waitresses and it's going all back and forth.
Does he have a shirt or not have a shirt?
He does.
He has a shirt, but you don't tattoo
yourself for 100 hours and not want to show them all off. Right.
Yeah.
I don't see any ink on you. You got any tats?
No,
give it some time. So we get back, we hang out in Vegas and it's awesome. Everyone's like, oh, was it a party? It's like, well, we were on stage. It was a celebration. But when we got back to Cleveland, man,
it was fire trucks, water hoses.
It was a hot day. It was amazing though, man. And I'll tell you this. So the next week, it was a blur. We were partying. We were drinking. We were enjoying.
It was Deli's birthday.
It was Deli's birthday. We had beer pong at his house. I'm Snapchatting it. And it was over the top.
Do you know how many people were in attendance for your parade?
Nothing like this. I think ours was probably like 75,000.
Your school is how many people? It's a small 8,000.
It's a lot.
10,000.
Yeah,
it's like 6,000.
Yeah. 6,000. Yeah,
not at all.
No, awesome. Our school has like 30,000 people at it. Like it's a small school. Respectfully, Kerry Kittle's my guy. Malik Allen, my guy. Mm-hmm. I'm a Villanova supporter from the outside in. It was awesome. And the party lasted. We went to the ESPYs. I was so drunk at the ESPYs. I still got the ESPY right there. There's an ESPY right there that I stole from the event that most people don't fully realize is still up there.
You know what's cool?
You guys were at that. I've never seen you guys there. Yeah. Yeah, you guys weren't as drunk as we were, though.
No, unfortunately not.
Yeah. But think about it. He played one of the greatest college national championship games, and you for sure played in one of the best NBA finals.
The best.
Series
keep going.
We know when you won it. The best game in Cavs history, in my opinion, Game 5.
Oh, epic.
What two you guys did in
two guys
Game
going for
5.
40.
Epic.
But just...
to go on the road against the team that had the best record in the history of the NBA and do what you guys did. I don't care if Draymond played or not. It didn't matter to me. The fact that you could go and do that, that's when you won a championship. And to me, that was like when you look back, at least as a Laker fan, you always look back at like moments of championship games where you're like, that's the game. Game 5-7, of course, is legendary. But game 5,
well, you need
only that. Champions can do that. You can only, yeah. that takes a
all
special
team. All you had
to
do was look at LeBron.
Is that in that game. That's the only reason why I'm still playing, to tell you the truth. Because it's just like, I truly, truly feel that we have the best player on the planet, and he is such a good teammate, and he will put you in a position to be successful. Part of the reason, and Allie watches every game, part of the reason why I was third on our team in dunks was because we run backdoor plays, lob plays.
Oh, and you guys LeBron, do people all the time.
But I'm saying LeBron is the one passing that ball. This is not random dunks throughout the games and random lobs. It's a lot of set plays by T. Lou. That's one of his best at it. And people don't expect for you to be throwing lobs to the 37-year-old. But I'm only still playing because I am playing with him and Kyrie and Kevin because I can do my job. That was one of the things that we talked to Lindsey Vonn about. She was like, well, I was like, no, Lindsey, I don't go to the gym anymore and dribble and do dribbling drills for 45 minutes. I'm not doing that. What do you guys need me to do?
When was the last time you shot a basketball?
Game 6 for 5. When did we lose? When did we lose? When was the last time we lost? Yeah, shit.
And it is July 22nd.
No, but first of all, I've been working out, played a 5-setter of volleyball in the sun today, getting ready for 6-man. That was intense. Geeter wasn't there because he's on a different team now, Fletch. It's Team Soho now. You'll learn about 6-man. If you want, I'll give you my information. I'll bring you out. And when you see what goes on at 6-man.
Was this volleball?
Yes. You're gonna be like, well, yeah, I don't need to live in Marina.
I'm with it.
Yes, he'll be on our team. Yeah, it'll be hilarious. So,
yeah, I'll be out there.
Yeah, no, man, that's it was amazing. It wasn't a week for us. It's just like a month. It's a month party.
Say, it can't just be a week.
No, it's a month party. So,
all right. Any other questions you got?
I mean, I guess for me, you know, I guess I'm the older rookie of the group. I'm 22, gonna be 23. I mean, what's like the mindset, you know, cause obviously I won in high school, I won, you know, in college, but I haven't been on this level yet. Like what is like goes into the mindset, obviously, you know, the BS, oh, you play hard, blah, blah, blah. But what's like, you know, the mindset of how you be successful in winning this league?
Well, there's a process, man. And the best thing that you can do is pick people's brains. Mm-hmm. Best people, you know, and you have Judd Bushler who played with Michael Jordan, you know, as your summer league head coach. You got Luke Walton that played with Kobe, was around Carl, played with Shaq. Like these guys constantly picking their minds. It is exhausting, but getting to the gym super early, watching film every single day of your stuff, what should I do? And then the confidence that you have in yourself, believing in yourself. Mm-hmm. Because if you go to the gym and you shoot 800 shots, you shoot 500 shots, whatever it is, you'll step into any shot. You'll step into any moment with so much more confidence. And it's like, even if your teammates are like, oh, this motherfucker was 2-for-12. Yes, but I'm fucking working harder than you. So like, I have the right to go 2-for-12, or I have the right to throw a couple turnovers because I'm out here busting. And when I say that, it's not from an arrogant standpoint. It's more of, if you put the work in and you put yourself in that position and you're a positive individual, you'll be able to build a leash that allows you to either make mistakes or have good games, bad games. But there's going to be peaks. There's going to be valleys. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Understand that this is a fucking job. Mm-hmm. And every time they draft a guy like you, a guy like me is looking like, well, shit, he wants my job. And for 17 years, I've held off young players like yourself, and understand that there's going to be guys that won't be happy for your success. There's going to be a veteran someplace that, not in a disrespectful way, but it's just be like, there's always changeover. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's going to be another guy next year that they're going to draft that's trying to take over your job. I always joke with Trey Burke, who is a great young player. You know, he struggled to kind of find his way, but the year after they drafted Trey Burke, who was all rookie team with the 8th pick, they drafted Dante Exum. Mm-hmm. And the year after they drafted Dante Exum, they brought in, God, I can't remember the Brazilian kid's name. But it was like they're constantly, God, what is his name? Nico? Nero? Nico? I can't remember. Excuse me. This is going to, it's a bad spot. But point being is that they're always going to try and get better. They're trying to be, they drafted D'Angelo Russell, traded him away because Lonzo Ball became available.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, look at that. You drafted a point guard with the number two pick, and the number two pick came 2 years later, you drafted another point guard. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be constantly trying to get better.
Irreplaceable.
Everyone is replaceable. So how hard you work, try and be irreplaceable. And be like, oh, we don't want to draft a two guard because he's just going to eat him up, or he's just going to destroy him, and that'll be a waste of a pick. Let's go get a small forward. Mm-hmm. Let's go get a center. Let's go get a power forward. Let's draft some, because you want to build confidence within your team. And there's going to be moments, man, where you're going to not believe in yourself, not in a lack of confidence way, but like, shit, I haven't hit a shot in a month. But you got to keep working. You got to keep doing all those things. And sooner or later, you'll break through. And just like anything, just like any job, once you kind of get a rhythm, you know, keep having fun.
I think one of the important words that you said really quick was process. And it's like so cliche, but it's so real. Like, why is, or what is the process in terms of like when you guys say that over and over? I mean, we hear it all the time. LeBron is like a big process guy. But if you cut a corner, if you shortcut, you pay.
There's nothing worse than being in a moment thinking, if I would have worked harder before I got to this moment, I'd been all right. Maybe you're out of shape. And there's going to be a moment. And it happens to everyone. Maybe you were out a little bit too long, right? You're out and you hadn't played in a week. But then all of a sudden somebody tweaks their ankle. And next thing you know, you're in that moment. And if you would have been rested, if you would have, you know, sometimes like, man, well, coach ain't going to play me anyway. I'm going to go out and hang out with my boys and just kind of bullshit. Man, I didn't go to bed till 5 a.m. Next thing you know, somebody tweaks their ankle in the first quarter and they need you to play. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a moment where it's like you have to fight that. I'm going to keep being a professional, waiting for that opportunity. Or when that opportunity presents itself, I'm going to be able to hit it because I've prepared myself constantly before. And it's tough, man. But I will tell you this, and this is the part that I'll leave you on and let Allie close out, is every year 30 guys are drafted. Every year there's 15 guys in the second round. So if there's 500 and something NBA players, 400, I don't know what the number is, but if there's 45 guys every year turning over, mm-hmm. that means 45 guys this year will be in the NBA.
And they added the two-way contracts.
Yeah, yeah.
That. That's,
I'm saying,
20 more.
Yeah, and what is
more.
Two-way contracts? I don't even know what that means.
It's something like half in the D-League, half in the
NBA. Oh, okay. I was trying to figure out what that would mean.
Complex,
but think about it. If every year there's 45 guys that have a job this year, that means that last year, there's 45 guys that are out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
And that cycle will never, ever change. So you literally have to fight to get out of that spot and to stay out of that spot. And some guys do it for 8 years, 9 years, 10 years. I've been blessed and fortunate to do it for 17. I'm kind of bragging. But, you know, yeah, who cares? But I'm just saying, though, think about that. When you put that in perspective, like, yo, next year they're going to draft another 40 guys. And if I'm not doing my job, if I'm bullshitting, if I'm not working out, even injuries can add to that. They're going to keep drafting every year, free agency, all these things, and even European guys coming over, stuff like that. So you can't work too hard. You can't put enough time in. But if you do that, you stay humble, you stay hungry, man, good things will happen for you, man.
Yeah,
you've already proven
well
you can be a champion.
Done, Richard.
He's already proven he can be a champion.
I got one more question before you close this out.
Oh, what the hell do you got to say?
That tattoo, I'm not sure. What shoulder?
Which one?
Faded, the RJ one?
That shit's sexy, right? So, I'll tell you this.
It doesn't look as bad in person. On TV, it looked real questionable.
Let me tell you.
What is that?
Let me tell you about this tattoo, right? So, people that have listened, our 12 listeners.
I'm so glad you brought this
up. Our 12 listeners, right? So I got this tattoo on my visit when I was 17 years old, right? Sorry for having balls when I was in college. And I'm eventually going to get like a quarter sleeve. But there's lots of people, and once you get to the NBA, you'll see. There's lots of people with bad tattoos. I just haven't covered it up with flames and a seat. Don't take a tattoo picture of my tattoo. But yeah, there's lots of guys with bad tattoos. They just cover them up with shit. I remember Marvin Williams, who's my guy, ultimate professional, played with him in Utah, dunked on him when he was in Atlanta and now is in Charlotte. But he has a tattoo of like eat, sleep, and shit on it. Like I'm talking about like of like a little like individual person, like a stick figure, right?
Oh,
oh yeah. So it's just like a person sitting on a toilet, a person sleeping in a bed, and then a person like playing basketball. Oh, you can't cover yourself.
Richard, if you ever put that on your body, I would never talk to you again.
But that's not true. But I'm saying you can't cover yourself in sleeves with poetic things.
JR
nonstop.
Did.
No, JR didn't. He's got clowns. He's got like, there's no way he can. He's got Decepticons, and he's got.
I asked JR how many tattoos he had, and guess what he told me? What
did he say?
Three.
Three. Yeah. They're all one tattoo. It's all blended in. Oh, yeah.
You got this, you've got this, and you've got this.
Well, I still have I have a stop sign tattooed on my hand.
Yeah. Ask. Hey, Josh, ask him what that stop sign's for.
It's supposed to get me to stop drinking, but it doesn't. And so I just laugh the whole time while I'm drinking. And then I drink more because I'm laughing. But the stop sign is really, really funny.
That's kind of, yeah, that's hilarious.
Rich, yeah.
You know why that is, right?
What?
It's because it's below the bottle.
You can't below the bottle. I can't see it. Once I tilt it, I can't see it.
But once you finish it.
Yeah, once I finish it, I was like, oh, damn it. I was supposed to
Listeners,
stop.
That was our wonderful sound engineer, Mike, chiming in. Thank you for that.
Mike is amazing. Mike, you need to chime in more. I told you, Mike, you can talk more. So
there's a mic there for a reason.
Yeah.
There is, but I like to let Richard talk.
Thank you. Thank you.
He appreciates it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, once a guest, always a guest. Just so you know, we don't have only 20 listeners. We're approaching 3 million.
Downloads.
We love you all. Downloads. Yeah, all across the world. So
almost 3 million people are going to hear me? Hey,
no,
guys.
No, not 3 million people. Calm down. We've had 3 million total downloads. But
we average about
100,000.
Got to put that out there.
Yeah, so about 100,000. Yeah. And we probably reach
a
little
bit. 100,000 followers on Twitter, Instagram? Can we do that?
Well, I'll tell you what.
We'll let you.
If you tag us, we'll tag you. What's your media? What's your social media?
Josh_3. I got to kind of change the 3 because I'm 5 now, but you know.
Yeah. Well, you can't kind of change it. It's just. Yeah.
I mean, I wanted Josh. Someone has Josh. I wanted Josh Hart. Someone has Josh Hart. Might do like Cinco. Cinco's cool, right?
No.
You know, I look Spanish. So it fits. Number 5.
You're in California now.
I kind of think about it a little bit.
That's why you always got to be a little weary about putting numbers next to your social media thing, because it can change you. I was 44 my whole life till I got to the NBA. Yeah,
it's all Corey Brewer's fault.
Yeah, damn three. Corey Brewer.
Well, once a guest.
I even wore 3 anyway. All right, but my fault. Go on.
No, you're all right. Once a guest, always a guest. Good luck in a Laker uniform, despite being drafted first by the Jazz.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Any other time that you want to come on? Any other time you got questions for Richard? He's an open book.
Yeah, no. At this point in time, now that he's done us a favor by coming on our podcast and talking, he's just another guy that's trying to take a job from me. So fuck him.
That's a valid point.
And
vice versa.
Vice versa. Yes, yes.
It's a vicious cycle.
It is a vicious cycle. I got a lot of respect. I gave the kid tons of knowledge.
You're right. But the biggest piece of knowledge that you should take away from this Red
Cup
Lounge.
Don't let a 37-year-old bust my ass.
That and don't live in the marina.
Don't live in a marina. Don't do that.
That's true. Yeah.
But do what you have to do. There's harder spaces, harder times to find spots around here, but this is the best place. And so, you know, the light-skinned Kid Cudi is ready to go. Allie, you're ready to go.
Ready.
Mike's ready to go.
Well, thanks again. Good luck.
Thank you.
Unless you play the Cavs.
All right. See you next year.
That's another edition of Summer Road Trippin'. For Richard Jefferson, Josh Hart, I'm your host, Doug.
Hey, Road Trippin' fans, don't forget, we are working with a t-shirt company that you may have seen around, Amich. They're the ones that are responsible for LeBron's Ultimate Warrior shirt and many of the college designs you see on tees. As they pay homage to great moments in sports and inspiring stories, go check out their NBA Jam tees at homage.com. You're sure to be inspired and will get a kick out of their special design of Richard and Channing. Get them while they're still in stock at homage.com.